The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio with Aaron Ryan.
Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin. Almost thwarted you there.
Yeah, almost didn't make it there.
We are here live every Sunday from noon to 2 on KCNR, and then this program will air again in Philadelphia and on the Jersey Shore, actually, at WNJC from 1 to 3 on Mondays. So if you have friends on the East Coast, they can listen to us, too.
Good old,
and of course,
good old Jersey Shore.
The good old Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Bill got to go to New Jersey once.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah, no comment.
Actually, it was in Connecticut, and they were really rude to him. It was super fun.
Oh, yeah. Connecticut was a different story. Whoa.
I told them they weren't like here.
No.
Fun, though. Anyway, let's see. We've got two really good guests for you today. We have Ambassador Francis Rooney. He was the ambassador to the Vatican, 2005 to 2008. Am I right, Mr. Ambassador?
Yeah.
Good, because my computer won't come up, so I'm trying to remember. And your book is terrific, but could you tell everyone the name?
The Global Vatican.
Yeah, that's it. I knew it was something about the Vatican. I'm terrible. I had it all ready to go, and then the internet here wouldn't connect, and now it blew out all my pages. Let's see. Here we go. I've got you. But you were really important for us this week because we really, I mean, I don't know if it's just misreporting or if it's, I haven't done enough digging, but the Pope's been saying some stuff that's making people freak out.
Well, he's definitely saying some controversial things. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, we thought
we
should.
It's going to be a very interesting week here in the United States.
That's what we thought. So we thought we should get a professional insider to give us the scoop on this. Where would you like to start?
Well, who knows? I mean, you know, he came out with that encyclical about, you know, in the environment, which made some I think fairly controversial leaps of logic, if you will.
And for people,
and I don't know if he's going to revisit that when he's here or not. But I think he will.
For people who don't know what an encyclical is, maybe you could give them the rundown on why that's an important thing.
Yeah, an encyclical is a papal letter. It expresses the Pope's opinion about certain things. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's, you know, dogma or theology. It's just the Pope's opinion about certain things. In this case, he wrote about the environment and the impact of global warming in the world, and made some analogies or some connections between global warming and poverty. And it's, you know, I think that's kind of controversial.
Yeah, because maybe go a little further into what his connections were. You know, what types of things he was drawing.
Yeah, he basically linked consumption in the West with environmental degradation, which, okay, there's some links to that, with poverty in the third world, i.e. that because we consume so much, they are poor. And I don't know that that's really the right conclusion to draw from consumption in the West. I would have much rather seen the Pope call out some of the bad governments that have deprived their people the opportunity to rise up and achieve their God-given talents than to blame their poverty on global, on environmental degradation and the consuming of fossil fuels by the West. I mean, you know, look at Zimbabwe. They were self-sufficient in food until Mugabe took over, and now they're not. You know, you look at Nigeria and Venezuela, they have wasted billions of dollars of oil revenues, and their people are just as destitute now as they were before, maybe worse.
Well, and I don't understand what did he base it on? Because I've read a few things about some of the people advising him, and that they were basically lefty operatives, I guess for lack of a better term.
Well, they didn't accept any testimony at the Pontifical Council for Social Sciences from anyone that disagreed with them, which I think is a bit of a mistake. You know, I mean, if you're doing a study, you want to have all sides heard, even if you're going to whitewash it so that you can be ostensibly objective, right?
Yeah, so you can at least pretend like you tried.
Yeah, right. And the conclusion that because the Western world is pursuing technology and developing economies, et cetera, that's a negative for the undeveloped world, I don't know that I buy that. I think the problem with the undeveloped world is they have bad governments that have wasted their money and not created an opportunity for them to do the same thing.
Sure. And I know in one of your statements, I pulled it across and posted it online. I guess we should tell people about that. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us, and I finally put a chat link on the page. Sorry about that. But on there, I did post three statements that you made that Stephen forwarded to me, and one was that the Pope shouldn't cast the climate change debate as rich countries versus poor. The greatest environmental harm, worst emissions, and worst clear-cutting of forests for timber and fuel are occurring in the poorer and less developed countries that lack even the most basic environmental standards. And I think we all know that, don't we?
They're going to consume fuel to stay warm and cook their food. And they're going to consume whatever they can get the cheapest way to survive. And it's incumbent on us to urge these countries to, create good economies, to create stability for their people, rule of law that allow maybe a middle class to grow, and then they can afford something decent like natural gas.
Sure. And those guys, you know, when you look at some of these countries, I think that the assumption that's made is that because they have less than we do, their life is somehow simpler and closer to the land, and they're saving the environment more than we are. Was that their premise, do you think?
If that's their premise, they're wildly mistaken. They should go down to the jungles of Brazil and Peru and see the way the people live and ask themselves, do I want to do that or would I rather be in New York City?
Exactly. We'll even look at developed countries. Look at China. You know, they wear masks all day.
I mean, that's where I'm a little bit confused is I think in the last 20 years, the United States has really kind of led the way with a lot of this environmentalism. And yet he feels the need to come here and tell us we need to do more, or is he more just pointing out that China and some of these other countries need to do more? I'm confused.
I don't know. It seems to kind of point at us all the time.
It does.
He did. He pointed at the developed West, which is kind of hard to escape the fact that that's us and Northern Europe. And I think it's unfortunate because, you know, it's totally impractical to assume that people aren't going to consume the cheapest fuel they can get. So it's incumbent on anyone that wants to reduce fossil fuel emissions to stimulate economic conditions where people can afford a better fuel. You know, and the Bush administration, they worked hard to get China to adopt clean coal technologies, scrubbing technologies to clean up their coal. And from what I understand, it's actually had some positive effects, even though there's still a lot of emissions in China, as everybody knows. But you've got to be practical about this stuff, and you try to clean it up as you move to, you know, kind of up Pavlov's hierarchy of needs.
Sure.
You move up to cleaner fuels like natural gas and with a little bit of complement of alternative energy thrown in there.
Sure, but they have to be able to eat first. You know,
I mean, if you're drowning, you're not asking what color's the rope.
Yeah. That's a good one. Well, so when the Pope issues these encyclicals, what does that mean? What does that mean for everybody else? Like, because I always feel that when we talk about this subject, people think we're just talking about Catholics, but I thought that was really the point of your book, is that it affects everybody because, well, he's the leader of a country. You know, the Vatican's considered its own country, and he's a heavyweight player. I mean, the Pope is no small player on the stage.
The Holy See's influence in the world goes well beyond the Catholic Church. It's an influence diplomatically and based around fundamental human principles that affects all mankind, and their ability to weigh in on the side of human dignity and freedom in a way that perhaps secular countries sometimes cannot do. So, it's a broad-based diplomatic platform, and I think they've done some great things. Even recently, this Pope has shown the ability of the Holy See to be impactful with his Cuba mediations. Even if you would disagree with the president's bargain with Cuba, and I kind of do in some areas, the fact that the Holy See could play this unique convening role clandestinely, bringing the parties together, and then not take credit for it. You know, the Pope said, we did almost nothing. Well, that's a very humble answer to something that they were deeply involved in and orchestrating in both in Canada and in the Rome.
Well, it's kind of, you know, and for people who might have missed it, Pope John Paul II had a huge role in bringing down the wall. He was very, very active with all that. But again, that was his country, Poland. You know, he not where the wall was, but I mean that negotiation, that was his neck of the woods, I guess, as you say. And it seems like this Pope is using his experience from Argentina to focus. I mean, I get it. It's where you come from, and it does shape your view. But it seems that all of a sudden it's like he thinks that if we all lived like they did in a third world country, we'd all be better off somehow.
Well, I think his Argentine perspective colors a lot of things, particularly his view about social justice and economics and capitalism. And I'm kind of hopeful that he comes to the United States and he meets a lot of people and he sees people in the streets and realizes that we have a much more broader economic base. We have a middle class. We have a safety net. That our system of capitalism has functioned in a way that he can hardly imagine until he learns about it. Because the one he knows about is so corrupt, so oligarchical.
Oh, that's true.
And tied in with cronyism with the state, that when he looks at a corporation, he sees something negative. Where we look at a corporation, we say, okay, it's a company could be a company running a dry cleaner, or it could be IBM, you know, so what?
And do you think this is why he has his opinions on the whole global warming issue? Because I'm not real sure where he gets his information. I mean, if you want to back it up a little bit more, the whole global warming debate.
It's got to be the guys that advise him.
Yeah, I mean, where does he get his information
because we better take a really quick break or we'll be... We'll have all three breaks in the last half hour, which is always a drag. Yeah, when we come back, I'd like to know what you think or what you know, or what you suspect even, because we're on the outside looking in. We're speaking with Ambassador Francis Rooney, former ambassador to the Holy See from 2005 to 2008, giving us a little insight on the Pope's visit this week and kind of the ideas there. You can find us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Angry, don't you, Bob? It's just a dying planet. That's us killing it one leaf at a time.
rainbows and unicorns.
So my question again was, who's doing it? Yeah, who advises him on this on his global warming stance? I mean, I think a lot of us still have an issue or a problem with the degree that man is actually responsible for warming, and it's not just a cycle.
Yeah, I think that's the first leap of faith that the encyclical made, was to extrapolate from CO2 emissions a conclusion that that's what causes global warming. I think the science is
exactly
more in dispute, you know, than the encyclical would admit. And then the next great leap of faith, of course, is to go from climate change to blaming the industrial world for poverty as a result of it. And I just don't buy it. I go back to what I said before. It's about bad governments that don't create an environment for people to rise up, that are responsible for their own poverty. But no one wants to be responsible for their own consequences anymore.
Yeah, true. It's got to be somebody else's.
That's the bottom line.
It's got to be somebody else's fault. Well, there's a guy. He wasn't the person I was thinking about in a quick search there during the break. I found John Schellenhuber, some German professor, mm-hmm. and I guess he's the chief climate change advisor. But everything I've read says the guy doesn't even believe in God.
No, he's an atheist, and it was disappointing to me that they didn't take testimony from anyone that disagreed with him.
The atheist guy is, I mean, I thought, okay, I've found this in enough places, it's got to have some shred of truth. Seriously, was he a major advisor?
Yeah, he was. He was, and they didn't take, there were people that wanted to testify. Exxon wanted to testify, you know, and I'm surprised that they weren't willing to hear some other voices, like we talked about earlier, even if it's just to create the appearance of empiricism,
yeah,
and open-mindedness. But the guy that ran that program, I think, is a guy, Cardinal Turkson, who's from Ghana. So the whole perspective of the encyclical is from a less developed nation seeking to blame the industrialized world for their fate.
Hmm. And I know you can't, you know, read their minds or anything, but just, I mean, what's the point of putting something like that out? You know, is he trying to make us, I don't know, like,
feel better,
you know,
about?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, what?
I have a feeling that this environmental issue is not the most central aspect of the Pope's personal experience and his most deep-seated beliefs. I don't know how it got to this point. I think his most deep-seated beliefs focus around service to the poor and trying to help to protect the marginalized and underprivileged in the world, which is totally defensible.
Absolutely, and that's his job.
And that's really where he, I don't know, I shouldn't say it's where he should be teaching, but I don't understand how the global warming issue became top shelf in his mind when we have all these other issues with humanity.
Well, we have Christians being, you know, massacred by the thousands, tens of thousands.
I always thought that was like the number one priority was humanity and not political.
Well, you'd think it'd be pretty far down the food chain, especially since the impacts of global warming are attenuated and subject to debate, whereas persecution of Christians, the exodus of migrants from Syria, Iraq, and Africa, and those are here and now. Those are real life tragedies that are taking place before our eyes where the Pope, you know, can really weigh in and exercise moral authority.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I would be much, I guess, I don't know, I'd be much happier to see him stay in that realm, I guess.
Well, there's so much to be done there. I mean, especially in today's times, there's just so much to be done.
Well, I don't think Christians have ever been this much under the gun, literally, in our lifetime.
Right. Well, not in our lifetime, but...
I mean, historically, yes. In our mm-hmm. lifetime, though, I don't think so. What about, have you read the list of the cast of characters that Obama has?
I'm glad you brought that up.
Lined out for him to meet when he gets there?
Yeah, you know, there's something in the Bible, I think, where it says you reap what you sow. And, you know, the Pope's coming over here, and he's going to go see Obama. and you're going to get what you pay for there. I mean, he's going to do to the Pope now what he did to Notre Dame when he spoke there and use Notre Dame as a forum to pursue his own views and took advantage of Notre Dame. And as he tried to do when he went to see the Pope last March, although I thought the Pope did a pretty good job there of containing the damage and in getting his own message out.
What happened last March? I totally forget.
Well, that's when Obama went and met with Pope Francis in Rome, and they put out a press release saying what the meeting had been about before the meeting took place.
That's right. I forgot about that. So many bad things they do these days, I lose track.
Yeah.
I guess I just that well, just got
I scuttled. I think with this cast of characters that he's lined up for the Pope is just it's really an insult, and I man, I was shocked when I heard about it. It's like just a slap in the face for Christianity and for Catholicism. It's kind of like
well, just for Americans. I mean, what the heck? We're talking about a really small group of people in our country. So let's see. The article says, because I hate to misquote, especially when we have this kind of list. In a stunning show of political indecorum, Obama has invited a series of individuals who publicly flout Catholic teaching, including a pro-abortion religious sister, or a nun, a transgender woman, the first openly gay Episcopal bishop, along with at least two Catholic gay activists. And I think it goes into further detail. I should post the article. But I mean, what the heck? So has the Pope ever said anything about all that stuff?
Nothing I know of. And he probably won't.
No, he
He'll
won't.
Just smile,
you know, he's
smile
got,
and
he's
nod.
Got too much class to ever say anything about it. But
the way I look at it is, he put his neck in the noose.
True.
You know, he's coming over here. He's going to the White House. What do you expect? Obama's done that. President Obama's done that to everybody. It's all Chicago politics about everything and pursuing a very aggressive liberal agenda on social issues, on economics, on punishing corporations, on trying to attack the free enterprise system. It's a broad-based assault on the historic way America has operated.
Right. And I'm confused on his stance on the gay issue too. He said some things just recently. Where do you think he's going with that?
Well, I think the Pope. I can understand what the Pope's saying there. Okay, the Pope's saying, look, we're a church. A church needs to be in the business of forgiveness, in the business of embracing people, and trying to make people feel as good as they can about the circumstances that they're in. That's what you go to a church for, that, right?
Sure.
So he's saying you may hate the sin, but you don't hate the sinner. And I don't have any problem with that. I mean, I think
that's perfectly fine. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
But now he's going to be used as a political football by Obama, and that's just...
I agree with you. I think he's setting himself up for some bad stuff coming down the road. I mean... I think you're going to... I mean, what's going to happen when they want to do a gay marriage in a Catholic church?
Yeah, that's where some of the rubber's going to meet the road, and you're starting to see some of that now, where you're seeing people say, wow, you know, we can't practice our faith and be involved in the government, for example. Where
right.
We can't, you know,
and that's really what the government's saying has to happen now. And no one's... Yeah. I think no one's pushed that button, but it's coming. I really believe it's coming.
Well, they have not shown any bounds yet in pursuing their agenda.
No.
They're starting with the civil, and they're starting with trouncing on the intersection of the First Amendment and the civil with the reproductive business.
Right.
And who knows how far they'll try to get.
Right.
I think this next year until January of 2017 is going to be a scary time.
Sure. And, you know, I said Catholic Church. I think any church.
We can see almost anything.
Someone's going to stand up and say no, and the fight's going to be on, because I think that's exactly what they're setting up here, is for a confrontation.
Sure. So we can run it by the Supreme Court, who's had about a 50-50 record. That'll be a scary place to go.
Yeah.
Bob, what do you think? A little break? All right, need to take a break. Thank our advertisers. We're on here with Ambassador Francis Rooney. He was ambassador to the Vatican, the Holy See, from 2005 to 2008. We always have him come on and we pick his brain about what's going on with the Pope. And the Lord knows this week is going to be all about the Pope. So we'll be just a little bit ahead of the game. If you have questions or comments, you can give us a call or you can go online, wethepeopleradio.us, chat room's open. Fire us a question in there, we'd be happy to ask it for you. Be right back. That's a big topic these days. When you start talking about the Pope taking extreme positions, it pushes people right to the wall. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We're here with Francis Rooney, served as the ambassador to the Holy See under George W. Bush from 2005 to 2008. And you're the CEO of Rooney Holdings. So that's your day job now?
That's my day job. I work for my kids.
I was like, did we lose him? He's like, I don't want to get into this whole transvestite thing.
Work for your kids. That's a good job to have.
We'll gloss over the transvestite.
We have all three kids in the businesses, and so I work for them.
Right on.
Good for you.
That's cool. You know, I think we don't actually discuss the music before we start the program, but that one brings up an interesting topic. I mean, when the Pope starts taking these really hardcore political views, really all these things are hardcore left political views, that pushes people when it comes to the church.
Yeah, but you know, he's a really complex guy. I mean, he's also said a lot of things that go the other way. I mean, he's been very clear for many years in opposing the authoritarian regimes in Argentina. And
true.
He's leaned forward quite a bit at personal risk to do that against the Videla government and against Kirchner. And then, you know, he's spoken up a great deal against the idea of socialism and communism as not being the answer either, because they take away individual freedom and replace it by the state. So, you know, the guy's kind of a mixed bag in what he thinks.
Has anybody else been this, I don't know, I guess controversial?
Well, he has been more, forward-leaning and casual in his comments, you know, than previous popes who have been more nuanced and diplomatic. I mean, when he was in Bolivia and he said, "This economy kills," that was a fairly dramatic statement.
Yeah,
talking about capitalism.
Sure.
Yeah, and I wonder if you know, early on, if he must have realized that his comments really reverberate. I mean, they have a huge impact on people. And after a couple of them, I would have thought that some of that would have, I don't know, not necessarily toned it down, but...
He's kind of like Donald Trump right now. He's like the Donald Trump of religion.
he has unleashed some pretty strong language, and that Laudato Si, the encyclical, has some pretty strong language in it too. And so I'll be interested to see when he comes here if he's more nuanced than he was in Bolivia, Ecuador, and Paraguay when he's here on the big stage. You know, I mean, those are little stages, and he's looking at economic systems which are moribund, don't provide for their people. And again, about which he should express frustration. We'll see what he does when he's here in the middle of the one economic and social system that has provided more good to more people than any other one ever devised. Let's see what he does. It'll be interesting, won't it?
Yeah. Sure, because, you know, honestly, without our aid around the world in both food and in actual money, a lot of these guys would be toast.
Well, it's true. You know, whenever there's a major disaster or some conflict around the world, who's the first one to step up and provide aid? And everybody looks to the United States to do exactly that. But that's not really taken into consideration sometimes, I think.
No, and you could make an argument that we may do things that we don't need to do as well.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I think it's great that we're the leader in humanitarian aid, but, you know, all great powers that have become non-great powers, when you look back at them and you say, wow, they outspent their patrimony. And I do think that the United States needs to pay attention to our patrimony.
Oh, yeah.
Well, especially in the last 6 years, 6 or 7 years. I mean, we have absolutely put our foot where it doesn't belong on several occasions and done things that have really shined poorly on us, which might,
well, besides the fact
be
that
why he's doing what he's doing.
We have people here who need some help too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we can't always save the entire world.
Yeah, we would do wise to study England up to the First World War.
And how so?
Well, England was the preeminent world power. They were deployed actively all around the world, spending money, trying to maintain colonies, and dispersing their patrimony. And at the end of the day, it didn't do them any good because they sacrificed their internal economy, and Germany rose up, and that was the end of them. It's been the United States ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a... what's the word I'm looking for? What's going on with the refugees today? Do you think that's similar to what happened early on before World War II and what happened with the Jews, leaving their lands and being rejected basically throughout the world? Same kind of things happening with the refugees today. Is there similarities? Do you see any similarities there?
Well, I definitely think that refugee is refugee for one reason or another, but I think the causes are totally different. I mean, Hitler was trying to exterminate those poor people,
yes.
Whereas here they're in an area of just very difficult internal civil war. But once you get beyond the root cause, you're still talking a refugee is a refugee, and they're trying to flee to find a better life, and it's very unfortunate. And it's going to create a lot of hardships on other countries, like in Europe, that aren't all that well equipped to deal with it either. One of the things that Saudi Arabia has said, perhaps controversially, is they said we should set up camps in Syria and in Iraq and establish no-fly zones so that the refugees can be cared for there, like a safe zone areas for them, so they don't have to leave their homeland.
Right.
And that we can wait this thing out until ultimately some resolution occurs with Bashar.
Well, I appreciate you recognizing them as refugees and not immigrants. It kind of bugs me when I hear the news constantly referring to these folks as immigrants. They wouldn't be leaving their homeland if they had a choice.
Yeah, but there's also kind of a spooky element to that too, because if you watch any of the video footage of who's running, you know, running along, and I get if you're young and healthy, you're going to be the runners, but it's all that 20-something men
Well, that was
young,
that was
young
that's
men
an interesting
in their 20s,
point because,
and they said, you know, hey, watch out who's hiding in the refugee ranks.
But if you look at the news today versus a couple of weeks ago, that's what you saw was the 20-something males in the majority of who was, you know, fleeing, and since the light was kind of shined on that, now if you watch the news, now
it's
you're
all
seeing
little kids.
It's women and children.
Yeah,
and I think there was a lot of women and children in the beginning too, but it's really how the media wants to put a spin on it, and I think they recognize that.
Yeah, because it brings up it's a concern. Can't just have
it's a human tragedy on all sides. I mean, in these countries like Hungary and Croatia and Slovenia and Slovakia, they're having enough trouble as it is trying to figure out how to provide for their own people, and now they have these problems put on top of them. There's just no good answer to this situation other than finding some kind of way to create stability in Syria and Iraq. Whether you carve out a piece of Syria and Iraq and say, okay, refugees, this is your place, kind of like the Kurds have basically become autonomous, even though the UN doesn't recognize them that way. You know, I don't know what the answer is, but I know that it would be better for the people to stay in their home country if they could be there and have the opportunity.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Don't you think that the Pope would be a little better off addressing that issue as a priority over the global warming issue?
I do.
Yeah, because
I think he'd be better off addressing radical Islam, addressing migrants and refugees, addressing corrupt governments like Zimbabwe that create environments where their people are enslaved. That's what I'd like to see the Pope doing.
Right. And typically that's always where they've kind of operated, is in those hard-hit areas.
Because there was a question in the chat said, you know, why is he so political when there are major problems in the fallout of Catholics from the church?
Yeah, I've read some things in Spanish from some of my friends in Latin America who are severely upset about the Pope's activities because they're saying, look, the Pope is supporting Correa in Ecuador and Morales in Bolivia and undermining what little stability we have in making life more difficult for people that are trying to, you know, build up institutions and fight the autocrats.
And why do you think he's doing that? Just bad advice?
Well, you know, I don't know. He's a very complex guy. I think he doesn't trust elites. In Latin America, elite is a term of art. That's like the people that have everything. And there's only two kinds of people in Latin America, the elites and the poor.
Yeah, there is no middle
totally
class.
Different than what we are.
Sure.
And so I think he doesn't trust the elites, and he looks at them as people who have worked with the government to gain things, material things, etc., at the expense of the poor, and that they don't really provide for the poor. And he's probably right in all that in Latin America, but he's not right in that in the United States or Europe.
Well, he probably sees mostly all of us as elites here. I mean, if you're looking at standard of living.
Yeah, maybe in principle, but that's what I hope looks around when he's traveling around, and he's not seeing slums. He's seeing middle-class people in homes and people that are standing there looking at him that are, you know, have clothes. And, you know, I hope he gets to talk to enough people and realize that there's all kinds of people that are educated and working in this country, building this country up of all socioeconomic levels. That would be a radical departure from his experience.
Yeah, because there's opportunity, and where he, true, the places that he is drawing his reference, they don't have opportunity.
Well,
I mean, you're
and
really
to be fair to him, that's his past experience in his life. That's
you're,
what he's
you're
seeing.
Kind of born into poverty, and that's the end of the show for you.
Right.
See, Pope Benedict and Pope Francis both knew a lot about the United States, which is very helpful.
That's true. I didn't really think about that. And Pope Francis really has very little, if any, experience. My chat room person here says, ask about the falling Catholic attendance. And I know you're not the spokesperson for the church, but have popes in the past, I guess you've kind of looked at the history more than we have, Do they typically talk about that, the rise and fall of the number of Catholics in the world, the number of participating Catholics? Or is that just something that's kind of dealt with under the...
This Pope hasn't spoken about it that much, but I know Pope Benedict did. Pope Benedict spoke a lot about the idea of secularism in the Western world, that people are more interested in things than they are ideas, and that their attenuation with God has corresponded with a increased focus on material things and their personal lives. And he extrapolated from that some conclusions about what could happen to justice and civility in the world when people lose their religion. This Pope, I don't think, has weighed in that much on that. He has spoken a little bit about what he called materialism, which is the same basic idea.
Yeah, but it's interesting because here, you know, with all this push, we have such a small group of people who are atheist or transgender or all these just microscopically small groups. And yet, if you looked at, if you just, you know, came from outer space and landed on the United States, you'd think that was everybody. There are just so many things.
It happens that they're aligned with the media.
Exactly. And it's stripping away that faith base. And then you look at the persecution around the world, and I guess it just bugs me desperately that the Pope isn't really attacking that, trying hard to, you know, to highlight that. He has the platform for it. Who knows? Maybe having everything shoved in his face when he comes here. maybe that actually is a good thing for all of us.
At least it's historic that a Pope speaking to the joint session of Congress. I don't know how it's going to go. I'm really looking forward to being there and to hearing it. But at the very least, the fact that John Boehner invited him and that he's coming shows that the Holy See is a force to be reckoned with in the world.
Yeah, and a lot of people they don't feel like that's appropriate. It's very interesting how many people don't actually realize that the Vatican is a country.
A head of state, yeah.
Yeah, a head of state. Yeah. And so it's like, well, he has no business being there. It's all about religion. I hear this from people. And so I'm very curious to see what is said and how it winds up being portrayed. We need to take one last quick break, and we're going to come back with Ambassador Francis Rooney. There was a comment before, just to mull over, Mr. Ambassador, that somebody had said the Jesuits kind of act like elites, and since he's a Jesuit, isn't he kind of pointing the finger at himself? if you have any thoughts on that, we'll take it on the other side. Okay. You can catch us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Sinners are much more fun. You know that only the good die young. Oh, baby.
Is that going to be the theme song from the White House? Are we blasting that? Oh, that would be a little too far. Bridge too far. But, you know, everything else is a bridge too far, so why not? Okay, so lots of ways we can go, but I'm kind of curious with you in our final minutes. What do you think about the whole Planned Parenthood thing from the Pope's perspective? Do you think he'll say anything? Is that something he would know about or weigh in on?
I think he's going to be at 30,000 feet. I'd be real surprised if he gets into any kind of real detail of political issues in the United States. I mean, he's a global leader, and I think he's going to want to project himself as that. Anything could happen with this guy, but I would be real surprised if he jumped into any more granular issue than to speak broadly about immigration reform. And
yeah, I just wondered, since it's so much the debate in Congress right now, I wondered, and since it was a life issue.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he dug into that. his perspective is so global, you know. I mean, here in the United States, and we look at Washington, D.C. as the center of the universe, but to him, I think he's looking at things much broader than that. He might not even know what Planned Parenthood is.
Yeah, know? I was just curious, and if it wasn't a right to life issue, I guess I wouldn't think he would know about it. But and I'm also interested to know, do you think he'll say anything about the, you know, the whole ISIS thing and the persecution and of Christians around the world and all that? I think he'll weigh in on any of those.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he did say something about the persecution of Christians and link it to refugees and the whole destabilization of the Middle East, which he's spoken up quite a bit about that. That would be helpful if he were to do that too.
Oh, I think.
Well,
it would
yeah.
Be too. Absolutely.
What's okay? So then my last one on my mental list here. What about Iran? Think he'll pipe up on that?
I don't think he will. I don't think he'll get into the Iran thing. I think from his point of view, the problems are not Iran. The problems are Syria, Iraq, where people are being killed and wounded and turned into refugees and things like that. To us, we feel Iran is a totally different situation, but. You know, we're not looking at, we're looking at more of a strategic situation of the impact of Iran in supporting terrorism and in undermining the historic Sunni hegemony in the Middle East. But I don't think for him that's a big deal.
Just curious. I don't know. I always wonder if he'll weigh into things that are on their desk, you know, that they're deciding in. And as the ambassador, what does the ambassador do on a deal like this? Like, if you were the ambassador right now, are you helping him, like, write speeches and things like that? Or setting up meetings for him?
If I were the ambassador right now,
yeah,
and George Bush was president,
yeah, that's right. We
got to
switch all that.
I would probably be writing that it would be really helpful for the Pope to speak up against the terrorist activities that Iran is sponsoring with Hezbollah and Hamas and the Houthis in Yemen and things like that, and that he should speak up strongly against the invasion of the Ukraine by Russia and things like that. I'd probably be calling on him to do some of that.
And he's done that in the past. I mean, he's been very vocal about some of that stuff.
Is our ambassador now, whose name I do not know, is our ambassador now that's doing your old job, as it were, would they see things that way?
Well, actually, Ambassador Hackett did exactly that concerning the Ukraine. And after Putin came and met with the Pope and they had some discussions about the humanitarian issues in the Ukraine, I think that Ambassador Hackett issued some comments that were very good, basically to the effect that it would be really helpful if the Pope would also talk about the undermining of the Ukraine's territorial sovereignty by Russia.
Nice. Hey, yeah. We have a question. We've got a... jump off here, but we have a question if you'd be willing to come back after the Pope's visit and help us unravel it.
Sure.
All right. I will be in contact with you.
Well, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on. Well, thank you very much. Hope you'll have a nice afternoon.
Thank you so much. The week ahead, when the Pope visits, we'll see what happens. You're listening to We the People Radio. We'll be back with Jake McCauley on the Institute of the Institute for the Constitution, and just in a couple of minutes, wethepeopleradio.us.